Back together again, you and I wrapping it up and wrapping up another month on Thursday, October 31st, 2024 on Connecticut Today, where I open the show looking at new numbers in the election gender gap and education gap and wondered why men and women still vote so differently. Only Bridgeport blogger Lenny Grimaldi joined us to chat about this week's firing of city employee Wanda Jeter Pataki over election issues. So one of the big talking points in the election that's coming up, thankfully, next Tuesday, but there'll be a storm of you-know-what after that. But one of the consistently big points being brought up here, a lot more by the Democratic side almost, and I still don't believe this, I'll still be surprised, but in a way kind of laying the bedding here, getting out the sheets for a possible Kamala Harris loss, although like I said, I still don't believe it, but we'll talk about that next Wednesday, is the gender gap. And what the gender gap is in politics is very simple. How much do Republican men generally defeat Democrats by, and how much do Democratic women generally defeat Republicans by? In other words, there is a gap that is almost in every election cycle polar opposite. In other words, men will almost in every single election, save for maybe some local elections in very blue areas, men will overwhelmingly vote Republican or the right-leaning candidate. Women will overwhelmingly vote Democratic or the left or the progressive-leaning candidate. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not looking into a crystal ball and seeing something like, oh, we've never seen this before. But I wanted to open with this today because I wonder on that why. Did you ever wonder why? Except for the abortion issue. I think you've got to separate the abortion issue here. I mean, that is a pretty cut and dry issue, I think, as to why, you know, as they say, reproductive health, whatever they want to call it, or the abortion issue, or the pro-choice issue, however you put it, I can understand the overwhelming differences in the ways that, you know, men and women look at that. I think we all can understand that, right? That you don't have to have a PhD or a master's or have written several theses, whatever it is, multiple theses, doctoral dissertations on politics to understand that. And the reason I bring that up is one of our late night hosts, Eric Erickson, still here on the radio station, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., every Monday through Friday, he mailed out some stuff to his affiliates, and he highlighted something that had Eric not mentioned it, I probably would have missed it, because it's behind a paywall, but he did lift enough of it to send in his programming notes, and I said, oh, we're going to use this. The gender gap, in other words, what is the margin with men that Trump is defeating, at least right now, or is leading Kamala Harris by, and what is the margin with women that Kamala Harris is leading Donald Trump by? And none of them, like I say, we talked about this yesterday. We've talked about this in various state polls. But nationally, and again, it's borne out as to why, at least with the national popular vote, Kamala Harris will probably win that. Right now, she is +9. With women versus Donald Trump. Donald Trump is +8 with men against Kamala Harris. So that would give Madam Vice President Ms. Harris a 1-point win or a 1-point margin, which is pretty much exactly what every poll has said, within the margin of error, 1 or 2 points here. So we know this is going to be close. Now, there are some people that say, well, it's going to break hard one way or the other in the end. But my thinking here is this, and I want to start out with a simple question here. And again, like I said, let's get rid of abortion here for this issue, because that is a fundamental issue that, of course, if you use any common sense, you know the abortion issue is going to hit home a lot strongly or a lot more strongly with women than it will with men, right? It's just common sense. We know that, right? From a biological, from a mental health point of view, from a life point of view, we get it. We understand it. But look at all the other issues. Taxes, the economy, guns, education, the border, immigration, whatever. Why do some issues tend to resonate more with men than women? And why do some issues tend to resonate more with women than men? And why is this reflected also in education levels? Now, you can say, well, you know, the poorly educated, they're typical Republicans. Well, are they? Because I know a lot of people that are really, as we like to say, book smart and common sense stupid. And then you and I all know a lot of people of both stripes that happen to be, you know, common sense smart and book stupid. I hate to use the term book stupid, but you know where I'm going at here. So why is it down through the generations now? Again, back out the abortion issue, because I think you have to because of the physical and mental health implications of women over men on that. I think we can understand that. But why do women and men look at things so differently? Why is the gender gap so pronounced? Every single election cycle, some it's worse than others. Some it's not so bad. We'll go over some of the numbers coming up. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. We open with the question, what is up with this constant gender gap in American politics? Our weekly check-in with this guy, Lenny Grimaldi. Check out the website, onlyinbridgeport.com. Hey, Lenny, I understand there might be an opening for a greeter at City Hall. Can you put in a good word for me on that one?
Yes, but you'd have to do a remote show. You have to set up the show at City Hall, Margaret Morton Government Center.
Could you imagine that, dude? Could you imagine?
Yeah, people would walk in and you'd see you right there.
And we'd put a microphone up there so we'd have the voice of the people. I like it, Lenny. What'd you say, $64K a year? That's not too bad, right?
Yeah, but I got to get a commission.
Yeah, well, you'll get your VIG. Don't worry. Of course, we're speaking
with... I got a quick mercenary story.
Yeah, sure.
Me.
Go ahead.
So it's when I was working for Trump, right? So I'd go to see him in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And one day I go to the office, I walk in, and he says to me, you know, I'm paying you too much money. And I said, it's for a good cause. And he goes, what cause is that? I said, the Lenny Grimaldi cause. He says, that's the smartest thing you ever said to me. Mercenary work.
There you go. Now, before we talk about your old boss, Lenny Grimaldi, this thing with Wanda Jeter-Pataki, I guess not unexpected, right? Is that what you would say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I came on the show last week and mentioned that a decision has been made, and I think, you know, I said, think the obvious, and that's what happened. She got notified yesterday by the Labor Relations Department, Wanda Jeter-Pataki, that she was terminated in connection with the absentee ballot snafu from last year, in which she was caught on video surveillance dropping absentee ballots into the drop box fronting the Margaret Morton Government Center. So what she does, basically, in her employment, she directed traffic. People come in and say, where's this office? What's that office? And she directs you to the right department.
Mm-hmm.
But the box is right outside where her desk was. And so, you know, as a municipal employee, she was given her due process. They brought her in and said, these are the charges. How do you respond? And ultimately, the lawyer, labor lawyer hired by the city, William Ryan, recommended termination, and the city went along with it. Why did the city farm this out? Wanda Jeter-Pataki is a very popular figure in Democratic politics. She's the vice chair of the party. So the city decided, well, we don't want to handle this internally. Because of that reason, so they farmed it out to this lawyer, labor attorney from New Haven, William Ryan, who spent the better part of this year conducting the investigation. It took a while. She was on paid leave.
Yeah.
She has some options.
I was going to say, she appeal this? Can she appeal it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the go-to lawyers, labor lawyers in this area, you know, when someone wants to go to challenge sanctions from a municipality is former Mayor Tom Busey. This is a weird kind of case.
Yeah.
Because it's the first case of its kind in the state of Connecticut for this type of termination. There's nothing else to compare it to. So, you know, thanks to the Democratic-led state legislature, municipal employees enjoy a lot of job protection that you don't see in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
So what usually happens is, you know, how do you compare this kind of case and the punishment that was meted out, you know, with other cases? Well, there's nothing like this.
Wow.
My sense is she's probably going to talk to someone like him, if it's not Tom Busey himself, to see what her options are after being, like 2 decades on the payroll.
But Lenny, still, this has nothing to do. I mean, this is the termination of her municipal job. There's still possible criminal charges here, right?
Right. Correct. A number of cases have been brought to the State Elections Enforcement Commission as a result of the 2023 primary cycle, including allegations of the ballot stuffing.
Yeah.
You know, and also, to get more specific, and I missed this point earlier, you know, why she was terminated is because they allege she did this ballot stuffing on municipal time. Right. And so there were other municipal employees, too, or at least one that I can think of, that also was caught on tape. But the question is, was it done on city time or was it done on the off time? So the investigation pinpointed that this was done on city time. And as a result of that, termination was recommended and the city went along with it. There's a lot of grousing going on within the political circus in Bridgeport over this.
Really? Grousing how and why?
Because a lot of the politicians who like her, she's popular within the party, the establishment, and they feel like she's being singled out for this.
Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Lenny. Go ahead.
You go back to it.
Yeah.
The flashpoint is the investigation says it was done on city time.
Yeah.
And it violates the rules of conduct for the municipal, you know, job, and they said based on all the information that they have, that it was recommended termination, and she was let go from the position. So the job opening is there for you, Uncle Paul.
Imagine me getting hired by the city. Speaking of the city, Lenny Grimaldi, only at Bridgeport.com. Early voting. How's it going so far in the beautiful Park City? What do you hear?
It's pretty steady. So the early voting is done at the Marco Morgan Government Center.
Okay.
And I was there today to check it out. And the line was out the door.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I counted there were 50 people in line.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is the first time we've had early voting for a presidential cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see. It looks like by the time next Tuesday rolls around, you're probably going to have at least 10,000 early voters in Bridgeport.
Okay.
Yeah. Then, which is there's 70,000 registered voters.
Yeah.
In Bridgeport, for a presidential cycle, the number that have turned out is somewhere between 35,000 and 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, Bridgeport has the highest registration in the state of Connecticut. But it looks like it's a pretty good start.
Good.
Good to see people getting involved early.
Excellent. Finally, we'll do the Trump dump here. Your old boss, Lenny. I thought seeing him in the reflective vest yesterday, getting into the garbage truck. That was, from a marketing point of view, that was brilliant. You didn't give him that idea, did you? You didn't call him up.
No, but I know what's left. Okay, what's next?
Yeah.
So last week was McDonald's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yesterday was the garbage truck.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is going to be the sewage treatment plant. Guaranteed. Right? He's got to show I'm a billionaire man of the people. I don't mind to get my hands dirty. There's a lot of BS going on in this campaign. So let's go to the sewage treatment plant, right?
Boy, I got to tell you, Lenny, I mean, I don't know. They're arguing about an apostrophe here, but I don't know about you, but a minute the other night I saw the garbage comment, I went, oh, boy, is this the basket of deplorables all over again?
Yeah, there's something to that. I love the guy, but Jalopy Joe. I mean, he just got it. Someone just has to stick a rag in the president's mouth for the next 5 days. You know, I mean, it's one of the, he's not helpful. I mean, when I watched him say that, it was like he reminded me of the uncle who's this crazy uncle locked up in the basement.
Yeah.
And then Rudy Giuliani at that hate fest. Giuliani looks like the monster with the hands dragging on the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty terrifying. Yeah. All these 80-year-old guys.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Harris campaign is just saying, oh, please don't say it anymore. Just please stop.
Lenny, what do you, and this will be our last chat before the big day. What do you think? Now, I said a couple of weeks ago on the Pauly meter, you know, how the Cook meter, political report and all this, I was saying no way, no how. Lenny, I'm in the category now of if he wins, I'm not going to be shocked. What do you think?
I think it's going to come down to enthusiasm, who has the most of it.
Okay.
That's where I think it comes down to. You know, again, it's just churning out votes and churning out votes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really a question, where's the enthusiasm?
Hmm.
And if it's, you know, it's like also, the, you know, the shy Harris voters, like Republican women, you know, who may not be registering in these polls, are they going to quietly come out and just, you know, not a lot of them, but enough of them?
Yeah.
You know, if it's 10% of them or 12% of them that could make a difference, you know, that could be something. You know, I just really think it's like who's got the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know, on this early vote, and you know, both sides are making their argument. You know that the enthusiasm is up, but
I'm telling you,
I think we might. You know, a couple of years ago, we saw some outliers, right? We saw Arizona, and we saw Georgia.
Yeah,
could there be one out there?
Could it be
in North Carolina? Mm. Could Texas be closer? I think Trump's going to win Texas.
Yeah,
but you've got a couple of those state Senate, U.S. Senate races.
Yeah.
In Texas. In Florida, that are up for gas. You know, Eddie Munster in Texas, he's got a tough race there.
Eddie Munster.
Well, don't you think?
Well, he does. So you're telling me there's no shot, though, for me to be saying White House spokesman Lenny Grimaldi. That's not going to be happening. No? No?
No. I just want to do this with you.
Okay.
Just with you. And by the way, we've been doing this thing for 2 years now, Uncle Paul, and I'm demanding a race.
Well, I'll have to talk to the, I'll make sure Scott Boras calls you. All right. Lenny Grimaldi, only Bridgeport.com. Lenny, thanks. We'll be in touch.
See you next week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.